Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the show. It's brought to you with Levi Solicitors. LeviSolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball for 10% off your legal fees. Dan, Michael and Rob here in the main weekly show, episode 255, I think, if we've numbered them correctly. That's a lot, isn't it?
It seems like a lot.
Been going a while now, hasn't it, this? It's the Leeds United fan show for Leeds United fans, where we'll talk about Leeds United and stuff that's going on in Leeds United's world. Three parts to this. We will preview Chelsea and Man City in part two, and then part three, we'll pick our heroes and villains. In part one, we'll get into the latest Leeds United news in just a tick. First things first, if you are watching on YouTube, you can get this on YouTube and in your podcast app as well. YouTube, look at what we're wearing. Look at that.
In between pods, we've had a merch drop. Look at this. Wow.
It's the Leeds Karaho Ho Ho Christmas jumper. And Michael, do you want me to hold that closer to one of the cameras so we can see it? Or is it in shot there? That's our quite expensive bauble thing. Tree decoration.
There we go. Very nice it is.
And as I said before, you can actually, if you look at it, it will fit nicely over a coffee cup. So if you want to dust your coffee with cocoa afterwards and look like a barista, then you can do after you've taken it off your tree.
Use it all year round, is what you're saying.
Exactly. 12-month use out of a Christmas decoration. What's that about? You can find all the merch via the website. Have a look at that. And we've got discounts on the merch as well if you're a TSB Plus subscriber. So details on the website for that as well. Part one is the news then. And we are recording this lunchtime on Tuesday. And we've seen a bit of a spat develop between...
Phil Hay slammed.
Between Andrea Ratrazzani and Phil Hay and other associated people in Phil's orbit at the Athletic about this report that the 49ers have a deal in place to buy Leeds United for a total price in excess of $400 million, going up to $475 million, as it's reported, by, is it January 2024, the report says. So, first things first, doesn't come as a surprise, does it?
Does to Ratrazzani, doesn't it, I think?
It's because it's wrong.
Why is it wrong?
It just is. Well, hey, we might as well just say exactly what he has said. For someone as good as you, which I guess he means Phil Hay, I expect more, or The Athletic in general, I'm not sure, or Matt Slater, who was kind of co-written this, I think. Acer has an option to avoid the call, effect before 2024, but the main point is that we are only focused on working together and growing Leeds United. Anything can happen between now and 2 years' time, when many may have forgotten the article.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of what the article says, isn't it? Because that's the kind of interesting point in the article, is that it says Ratrazzani's company, Acer, has the option to void the deal should they purchase another club, which is what Ratrazzani has made reference to in the past of kind of creating a network of clubs. But that is acknowledged in the story.
And Matt Slater does say that. He does respond to one of the tweets there. That option to void is in the story that, you know, Ratrazzani has bitten back with by saying, you know, we can call this off if we want to. That option to void is in the story, Andrea, and you're right, anything can happen in 2 years, particularly in football, but nothing was spoken to lots of people. Nobody was spoken to thinks you will exercise that option, and they said that with utmost respect for the work you've done at the club. And it's pointed out in the article as well, is that for the next level and the stadium development stuff, it's going to involve a huge amount of money, and there is a question in there about whether Ratrazzani has the resources available to him to do that, or whether he's, you know, it could well be that he is part of sort of the consortium going forward, albeit with a smaller role or whatever. But it's going to take hundreds of millions, isn't it, to kick on to the next level. And so it's an open question as to whether we have that as it stands under the current model, or whether it will flip over to the 49ers. And, you know, whenever we speak to Phil, Phil's saying it's going to flip over past 51% soon. So interesting to see how it plays out, won't it? Especially as he's bitten back, which never feels like a good idea to me. But
yeah, He's got a bit of a history for this, hasn't he, of getting stuff out on Twitter. But I suppose equally, he could say it's a nice, quick, direct way of being able to discuss these things. Whereas before, you'd have had to go via a newspaper and get your side across that way. You can just come out and...
He could have got Kinnear to do some programme notes, maybe.
Could have done. They've been successful.
Well, we should...
Could have got Victor Orta to yell at someone.
We should make sure we ask Phil, actually, on Thursday and say, well, were Leeds United and Radrizzani and Asa or whoever approached for comment on this story before it was put into print, as it were, albeit on a website? Because you would assume that somebody has offered them the chance to reply to the story before it went and got published.
Yeah, you would guess so. But I don't think it's all that groundbreaking, is it, as a story? That they might buy us at some point.
Well, given that they've been gradually increasing their stakeholding, you wouldn't have, like I said, it's not a surprise, is it? You wouldn't have thought it would come as any shock if they went past 51% and beyond.
Only 7% off it now, aren't they? So
it'd be strange if they got to that point and went, nah.
Yeah, 44% is just right. I love it.
Well, 49 is, as Moscow said, like on the blog and whatnot, like 49 is, it's the perfect place to be for the 49ers, isn't it? But, you know, all that money pumped in, but no control. But
there's no control.
There is no control. So yeah, what does it mean for Leeds United?
I mean, I'm not mad about having foreign owners. This is where we're probably getting to Angus Kinnear talking about regulatory stuff and all that. But, I mean, I'd rather we didn't probably have American owners, but then compared to most other owners, they seem fairly decent. So I just don't like ownership structures in football in general. I feel uneasy that people without any particular links to the club are going to be owners.
But surely in that kind of just a throwback.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
Opinion. I mean, we spent ages on the propaganda podcast taking the piss out of Brentford and saying the Premier League should be made up exactly A, as it was when we were 13, and B, at our whims.
And yeah, and ownership the same.
Yeah.
I want like a local furniture maker to own it or something who was brought up on the terraces and has only the best intentions for the club and doesn't even want to make any money from it, which I do realise is completely unrealistic.
Is that why someone like Pete Lowy is attractive as a proposition, because he's got wealth and long-term fandom?
Yeah, I suppose so.
He owns a furniture shop of sorts, in that he owns the building that the furniture shop goes inside and the rest of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be probably underselling his business empire to say he owns a furniture shop. You don't really get...
Tell Mr. IKEA that.
That's true. But they seem fine, don't they, from what we know of them.
In comparison to the alternative when there was flirtations with Qatari owners at PSG for quite a while, which dragged on, yeah, I'd take this instead.
People do disagree with that, though, don't they? And they say, what I want is a bottomless pot of money. I mean, we've seen what's happened at Newcastle. As I said, around that, I don't think we can pretend that if Qatar did, at a later date, let's say, buy out the 49ers, that it wouldn't be welcomed, broadly speaking, and people would turn a blind eye to all that human rights stuff. But, you know, I say all that human rights stuff like it's just a passing thing, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I'm surprised at how much Newcastle fans have embraced it.
But they're desperate.
I have to say. I thought they might at least go, well, we'll have the players, but still, could you just leave off that whole public floggings thing for a while? But they kind of have gone, it's fine. As long as we get rid of Jonjo Shelvey in midfield, we don't really care.
Who really wants James Tarkowski that much? I don't really understand it.
It's true. It's a low price, isn't it, for human rights? But never mind. They don't seem to be, they're not proper bastards anyway, the 49ers. I think we can fairly conclusively say that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe, like I say, attached to that, there's a degree of sentiment about losing the stadium that we've all grown up milling around in, that's fallen to pieces and all the rest of it, and becoming more corporate and glossy. But this is the pond that we're swimming in now, isn't it? It's the Premier League, and it's a hateful place, but it's better than the next option, which is the Championship, which is just awful.
Yeah, and the stagnation that you essentially get by clinging to those things, eventually it does grind you down as well, doesn't it?
Are you suggesting that the 1955, 56, whenever it was that the West Ham was built, it's not fit for purpose anymore?
Can we just take it and keep it complete, move the whole thing back a bit, so we
stick
can still,
it on Fulham Park,
so we can still look at it sometimes, maybe, and just remember.
Maybe that's what they could do, actually, if they do build like a secondary stadium.
I was
going to
say, like Man City's training ground, we can just move bit by bit the current Ellen Road there.
Although I think, given the amount of lead paint and asbestos in it, it's probably best off dealt with by specialists and thrown straight in a bin.
It'll give the kids a good grounding in the under 23s to play in this dilapidated, dangerous ground.
But we've played at Man City this year. Look at the state of this place. It's good for you.
Wooden seats, nothing wrong with them.
Brilliant. On to the FA Cup draw that was made Monday evening. We've got West Ham away. Oh.
The only FA Cup draw we will have any interest in this year.
Did you watch it?
Yes.
And did you watch it, Rob?
I didn't, know.
No, I watched it live. And first of all, I was irritated by ITV4 only showing the first 20 numbers or whatever it was. And then as the balls got drawn out, the numbers moved up. why they couldn't have shown all the numbers at some point, just or even flashed them on screen once, you go, ah, right. So in case you missed it, 21 Leeds United.
Or generally show, they highlight kind of the interesting ones, don't they? So they'll show sort of Premier League teams and then some of the non-leaguers. So you can see like St Albans or whoever was
Boreham Wood, yeah.
You know, you can see them. So you, when they're coming out, obviously it seems like Brentford or whatever, they don't need to be listed because no one really cares.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you get Brentford, whatever. But it's...
QPR you'd want to see.
Yeah, QPR.
As one of the heritage sort of Premier League clubs, yeah.
Yeah, but it was odd how they just, because like Tottenham were drawn out at one point and then you were like, oh, I didn't realise they were even necessarily still in this.
But as that panel shrunk and we made our way onto it and I just saw
Leeds, Arsenal.
Yeah. But there were loads of Premier League. Man City were still in there, Man United as well, Villa. And I thought, oh, we're going to get a really crap tie. And as it was, we got is it a crap tie? What do you think?
They're kind of an acceptable team to lose to, which we inevitably will, I imagine.
But isn't it shit having to go into it with that opinion? But then again, you set that against where we are in the Premier League and the absolute need to stay in it. And I don't know. This is the thing about the Premier League, isn't it? It's just so unromantic when you think, well, I'm fine to write that off and any ambitions of glory and hope, because it's far more important to stay that so we can build a mega dome.
I mean, I'd love us to win the FA Cup. Yeah. I've got to be honest. I think it'd be, but the problem with it is that, as we'll probably come on to in previewing Chelsea and Man City.
Because we do preview every week, don't we, in this show?
We do, yeah.
It's worth saying for any new viewers or listeners that we do a preview section of the games that are coming up.
But that they can go into the FA Cup and not take it that seriously and still get to like the semi-finals by playing their incredibly good, worth £500 million reserves, and
not even look like they're enjoying it, like City fans at Wembley watching them beat Watford 6-0, and you thought, it looks like the Watford fans having more fun than you.
I mean, what is it about the cup? I mean, we've done some diving into this with the stats and records and stuff, and we've been knocked out in the third round 4 seasons in a row.
And it's not just difficult draws either. I mean, Crawley and Newport are within that.
Did you see that Crawley were trashing us via Twitter when the draw was made and West Ham said we will face Leeds in the third round, and Crawley quote tweeted it saying, don't worry lads, it's easy.
Fair enough.
Yeah, they even brought a reality TV star on.
Yeah, you've got to take that, haven't you, I suppose? To be like, yeah,
fair enough.
We had Kiko in net in our defence.
Yeah, so they had a reality star. We had a star of the circus.
Exactly. So, yeah, it would be nice to be a bit better in the FA Cup. We do have an unusually terrible record in it. I mean, I'm not sure who's put the kind of the full breakdown of the last 10 years on it or whatever, but 2015-16 was the last time we had anything and it doesn't even really constitute a cup run, does it? We beat Rotherham and Bolton before losing to Watford.
I was going
to
say, it speaks volumes that I have no memory of any of this, really. Is Watford the game where Watson scored the own goal, maybe?
Maybe. Was it the one Belushi was sent off in? I can't remember. Mm-hmm. It was all in that blur. We never thought we were going to win it anyway, did we? Let's be honest.
No, we've had 9 consecutive away draws as well. So you've got to ask the question, are they heating the balls there in that little pot that they have at Wembley? So don't get the warm one, leave the warm one.
Who was it that did the draw last night?
David Seaman.
David Seaman did the away teams.
And where did they do it? Are we in the Sean Harvey idea of doing it in outer space yet?
Not yet.
I tuned in about halfway through because I was watching it on Twitter. Right. So I'm not sure where they were doing it.
It was in one of the function rooms somewhere in Wembley. Yeah, it was overlooking the stadium about 2/3 of the way up. So maybe one of the like the banqueting halls or something. I don't know.
David Seaman's a very jolly man, isn't he?
He was, yeah.
Every ball he drew out, he was giggling at as if
it'd make a very
as
good,
if Wigan was itself worthy of a laugh.
Make a very good Santa, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would. He'd be great. I like David Seaman.
He's a jolly man and he's a Leeds fan. But yeah, he picked us out away to West Ham. I mean, yeah, just looking down this,
we play him twice in 2 weeks now as well, don't we?
Rubbish.
That's always a bit annoying when that happens.
I was thinking that I have kind of blocked out all recollection of us going to West Ham last year. I just can't remember. It's just such an uninspiring.
We were in blue and green, weren't we? It was one of the few blue and green trips we had. And
I know we got beat, but
we lost. Yeah.
So yeah, it doesn't really set the pulses racing, this one.
Yeah, 9 consecutive away draws, and we've only had one home draw in 9 years, which stretches 12 games. You know, when we've gone past the third round, and that is, it's Rotherham at home in 2015-16. Last time we had a victory in the FA Cup 2016-17 when we beat Cambridge away in the third round, and then we lost away to Sutton in the...
Should have just lost at Cambridge.
In the fourth round, yeah.
Would have saved a certain amount of humiliation, wouldn't it? That was the old pie-eating incident, wasn't it, where the obese reserve goalkeeper...
Oh, did a stunt for a gambling firm or whatever, wasn't it? Or a newspaper.
And that's the magic of the FA Cup, isn't it? A non-league goalkeeper eating
and
a
that
pie.
Was that the Mackay twins playing? Billy, what was he called?
It was Billy Whitehouse, wasn't it? And one of the Mackays. He was awful. He looked so uncomfortable with the ball at his feet. I've never seen a man get rid of a ball quite as quickly as soon as it was passed. Even if any had loads of space, he was just like, nope. the longer I have this, the more obvious it will be. I cannot play football.
It was the Gary Monk making a point about the squad thing, wasn't it, around the January window? I don't know.
Should have got James Featherstone to sign a few players, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, so it's that disappointing thing of it kind of knocks the wind out of your sails thinking about a cup run, doesn't it? Because as much as we are being like dead pragmatic about it, like you say, Michael, you'd love a cup run. You'd love to win it at some point. I'd like to just see us win it in my lifetime.
Win something.
Yeah.
It'd be so nice to just have a nice joyous day at Wembley and not one where I get to turn up and see us not score a goal and barely have a shot and get spanked and then traipse back up north.
Have you ever seen anything good at Wembley? Either a football match or a concert?
I've seen Leeds Rhinos win in the Challenge Cup a few times. I can't say I particularly enjoy going though. Like, it's just, it's too nice. Like we were just saying about Elland Road, kind of loving how horrible it is. It's too nice, Wembley. You go and it's an amazing view and the seats are really comfy. Mm. I just think...
There's a lot of leg room, isn't there? Like, I mean, I nearly lost a leg in the celebrations against... who do we just play? Brentford.
Brentford, yeah.
I can never remember the name. Brentford at the weekend. And that was by virtue of the fact that the seat in front of me in the East Stand is about 30 centimetres, if not, you know, from the edge of my seat, if that, actually, probably less.
It is really inadequate, a leg room. When I was in there as like a fairly short 14-year-old, there wasn't really enough leg room, so I don't know what they're thinking when they designed that.
I realised when that goal went in and with my shin injury, I don't actually know how I got it fully. I know it involved, you know, when you have that massive rush of adrenaline. I don't know if to say this on the match ball or not, I forget. Massive rush of adrenaline where your head goes. You feel like you're going to black out. And then I found myself on some seats and I was either falling backwards over him or I don't know if I was forwards or back or what. And then next thing I knew, I was kind of, my leg was hurting and I was back where I was supposed to be. But it had involved a tumble at some point, like an old lady.
I will say I've never had to endure a tumble at a Leeds Cup final because we've not scored a goal in them. In my three I've been to, Coca-Cola Cup, well, and then obviously Donny and Watford.
Well, I went to the Charity Shield against Liverpool and we won that, obviously. That was good.
Yeah, it's not high stakes though, is it? Charity Shield,
and that was sort of put into context as we were approaching the ground because I think we took more fans to Wembley than Liverpool that year, and I think my dad might have remarked to a witty scouser as we were walking towards the stadium, like, you know what? How come you haven't sold all your tickets? We've sold more than you. He goes, oh, we get here every couple of years, mate. Fair enough.
Yeah, but let's win it this time. I'll just lose to West Ham, as we probably will. It depends how seriously they take it, in fairness, as well, because they're in contention for Champions League and they might decide they don't want the distraction and they're going to try and push on and get fourth.
We should win it, shouldn't we, actually, thinking about it, because it's going to be 50 years since 72, isn't it, this time? So it'll be the 150th anniversary of the Cup. Obviously, it stopped for the war and stuff like that, but it's the 150th birthday of the FA Cup, so there's a nice symmetry there. If we could win it every 50 years.
Through diving headers only.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll put it in right into the FA.
I should say as well, speaking of the FA Cup, and now I've got the image of Billy lifting the cup, we are recording on the anniversary of Billy Bremner's passing 24 years ago. And it's absolutely terrifying. You know, as I get older, realising he was only 54 when he died. Because, you look at Billy Bremner, and to me, growing up through the 80s, he was an old man, you know. But then you realise, Christ, that's me now.
Yeah, it's funny, on the way here, I was just listening to John Sheridan talking about Billy Bremner, just saying how much he loved him and stuff. So, yeah, it's one of those... comes around every year, isn't it? And you think, God, it was actually a very long time ago now. I remember it happening and it was it being such a big thing. But yeah, it's always worth marking it, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And on to the 23s. We'll do that in a second. Let's mention the FA investigation first because of Canos. We dealt with it a bit over on Propaganda, and I dare say we'll deal with Canos a bit in Heroes and Villains, but no doubt they're going to throw the book at us.
Are we going to receive some sort of award for this? Prize? Some extra points?
Is that what you think we should get?
I think so. I think if they review the footage carefully, they'll go, right, ban for Canos, and a little bonus for Leeds.
I've still not seen the footage of exactly what happened. I know it involved a flying pint pot at least, didn't it? But there was some talk of a lighter and...
I mean,
on the match ball, you were advocating darts, weren't you?
Yes. Crossbows.
Again, should just be really clear.
It is a joke.
It's a joke.
I don't want to see anyone badly injured apart from Canos. No, it was he got up and was very clearly smiling and laughing as he ran back towards the halfway line. Oh, really? So he wasn't badly hurt,
but that will not feed into what happens.
You still can't really throw shit at people, can you,
from this point? And we shouldn't,
unless
really.
It's actual shit. Maybe that'd be better.
Imagine examining the CCTV footage and spotting somebody just curling one out.
So there was the bloke next to you in the cop going, what are you?
There was the Sunderland shitter, wasn't there? Yeah. Do you remember the Sunderland shitter?
Was he sat at the back of the ground or something?
He was really, there was a really outrageously drunk, I think he was like a teenager, I think he was like 19 or something, in the Stadium of Light, and he was, he had his
Stadium of Shite.
And he was busy having a shit in the stands. And he seemingly just didn't know where he was, you know, in the same way as people like pissing wardrobes and stuff. Yeah. He obviously didn't realise he was in a football ground.
There was a guy in the cop. I can't remember whether it was West Ham or Watford, but he started throwing, he was in a bad way and started throwing up at half time. And as the second half was kicking off, he was still throwing up. Just the whole row, everyone just sort of left a space around him.
Bing bong, clean it to aisle five, please. Oh, dear me. Yeah, onto the 23s. Lost again. Leicester.
Jackson out.
It's not time to sack Bielsa and put Jackson in and play the kids.
No, we'll have to, Eddie Gray can manage both the first team and the under 23s now.
There's got to be a correlation between the under 23s losing form and us having loads of injuries and therefore us borrowing a lot of the 23s, surely.
Yeah, it's been a really disruptive time for them, and even when they have been at a name, players who were maybe on the first team bench, they get subbed off early and then they're having to accommodate players like Bamford and Ayling who won't be accustomed to how they play. And yeah, it's all just been a bit of a mess, I guess. Hopefully now we've got players back, depending on Cooper and Phillips, they'll be able to sort of pick a settled team then.
Mm. And we were winning in this one until Cresswell got sent off. So
he was playing the Calvin role, wasn't he, though? It's funny how Bielsa, I don't know, do you think Bielsa insists on this just to, so they can up their understanding of the game, playing players out of position?
I would say so. He's done it, he did it with Ollie Casey, didn't he, before we got rid of him. He played him there for some of the time. I don't know if it's, and obviously Strouk's had his stint in there as well, despite being a, I would say, quite obviously a centre-back. But yeah, it's interesting.
I mean, talking of Cresswell's understanding of the game, he got sent off and said that he didn't even know he'd been booked. So, not ideal.
Ignorance is not a defence. You can't send me off. I didn't know about the first one.
What did he get booked for then?
I've not actually seen him.
No.
The yellows.
Did you watch it?
No, I'm not too sure. But yeah, apparently he didn't see the ref give him the first yellow card.
There was a shirt pull for the second one or something, wasn't
there? So then when the second one came around, he was quite surprised.
I didn't know I was going that fast, officer.
Exactly. It was a nice goal, though. It was Gellert and Greenwood with a nice little link up in the box, so that was nice to see.
Congrats to the women as well. 90th minute winner in the FA Cup away at, well, I mean, what a team name this is. I mean, we were talking about Norton and Stockton, weren't we, I think some time ago, being up sort of Teesside way, Middlesbrough way. Norton and Stockton Ancients. Is that like the over 50s team?
Well, judging by the goalkeeper on the first, possibly, did seem to just fall over as the Leeds players were running towards her. And then there was a really full on offside call as well at the end, just to look over to the linesman, as in like, any chance? No, okay, never mind.
But yeah, funny, I noticed that with the Brentford game. One of the first things I noticed, you know, you do the Skrill all the angles thing. Mm. There's a good angle thing. It might be the camera that's low down behind the goal, where the first thing the Brentford players do is like, it's look and appeal. Yeah,
just hope.
Like an automatic reaction, yeah.
Yeah, any chance of this being?
No.
Okay, never mind. But yeah, it was a good last minute winner. Olivia Smart. Square ball zone.
Potty mouthed fullback.
Yes, indeed. With a really good cross to the far post and put in. And then it was really pleasingly muddy pitch. I feel like you don't get a good muddy pitch anymore. The pictures are more like in a big heap at the end and everyone's filthy and you think, oh, good. It looks like a proper old FA Cup tie.
It goes back to what we were saying about the stadium. Is like, we don't want the hybrid £1.5 million pitch with super drainage where it can piss it down for.
Yeah, everyone looks really clean.
Yeah. And snow never settles on it because there's this artificial microclimate going on where the grass always thinks it's 17 degrees out or whatever with undersoil heating. No, take all that out. When you take it out next time, when it needs to be renewed, take the heating out, pour water on it, worsen the drainage, make it a mud bath. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
It would. I approve.
Chelsea at the weekend, followed by Manchester City here in the preview section, the regular part two of the weekly show in which we look at the teams and the clubs that we're going to face and talk about them.
And sometimes do some prep.
Because, I mean, if you remember a couple of weeks back, was it the December the 2nd show, about 32 minutes in, when we...
that was the one.
We did the preview for, what they called? Palace and what they called the other one?
Yeah, QPR.
Sorry, Brentford. We did the preview for those games and we did extensive notes. I said did extensive notes. You got some screen grabs off whoscored.com.
Correct.
Forgot Brentford, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's two games in a week. We don't do this. We're a Premier League team now. We shouldn't have to play two games in a week. Ridiculous.
And anyway, we've got Chelsea and Manchester City. Chelsea, quite a lot of information there. Michael, thank you for that. I was scrolling down there and it says Manchester City away is the headline font. And then under that, it says 8 p.m. on Tuesday evening.
There you go.
And then couldn't beat us last season because they're shit. Tried to kill Rafinha. Very naughty. And that's the Man City preview done then. Let's preview Chelsea.
You have said we're playing Chelsea at home, which isn't right.
Oh, that's
I mean, what a shambles.
What I've done there is I've just deleted the word Brentford that was there before and not changed the bit in brackets. I do know we're not at home. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 3 p.m. on a Saturday as well. That's thrown me.
That's a novelty, isn't
What's
it?
What's that about? Do you think it'll catch on as a kickoff time?
No. Especially when you think about it, it's the champions of Europe playing the champions of Europe.
Mm.
So it should have been televised. I mean, will we be able to watch it somehow?
No, because it's the 3 o'clock kickoff in the United blackout. Kingdom, yeah. And you can't get it.
Noel Whelan, would he be able to tell us maybe?
I mean, he may know of someone, or someone who hacked his account may know of a way of getting these games. Who knows?
Right, all the joking apart, this is the bit that everyone was worried about, innit? This run into Christmas. I mean, you look at these two fixtures and I just sort of quietly chuckle to myself and think, well, we're going to lose both, but...
We're getting Chelsea at a good time.
But yeah, if there is a good time to play Chelsea, it might be now because they're wobbling a little bit. It's the first proper drop in form they've had under Tuchel, isn't it? And obviously Man City follow that. We beat them last season. So there's always a hope. There's always a hope, even if heart says that, head goes no.
Yeah, I mean, they were fortunate to beat Watford and then they did lose to West Ham and they could only draw against Scum in their last three games. And none of those are particularly good results. So... maybe there's something in it for us.
They are playing in Russia tomorrow as well against Zenit, which, you know, maybe a bit of travel tiredness there, although albeit they are top of their group, so I can just probably send the reserves.
Send Lewis Baker. Yeah. They're not that desperate.
Was it Zenit that Victor Orta used to be at?
Oh, you're asking actual football questions there.
I'll look at you, Rob, because you're more likely to have done research.
I don't actually know. Was it them or Spartak Moscow? I don't know.
So someone over that way.
I'm just naming Russian clubs.
Great now. Bunch of lads anyway. No, I just wondered. Chelsea have got a very expensive and talented squad.
Yes, I think. Do you know what I think? I've had a think.
Yeah,
I've had a think, I think he was at Zenit.
Any further data on that that's just popped into your mind?
I think he helped to recruit Hulk. You know, the Brazilian
big green fella.
Yes, that's the fella. Yeah, yeah. I've just remembered that.
Mm. And why did he leave? What was the?
He joined Elche in Spain. I don't know why exactly. I think it was always a secret.
Was it to be a sporting director?
Yeah, but then he was recruited by Middlesbrough in, I think it was December 2015.
Right, oh yeah, yeah.
As their head of recruitment. Yeah. And he was the one who picked Aitor Karanka famously as well. So yeah, that's just some stuff I've remembered.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that.
No worries.
What else have you remembered?
If you need anything else remembering.
are you the man?
Yeah, just give me 5 minutes though. Got to really dig deep sometimes.
So, although it is a good time to face Chelsea, they are still third and they're only a couple of points behind Man City.
Yeah, they're dead good, aren't they? Got a squad full of dead good players,
yeah.
Really expensive players.
It's quite frightening. Our last win against them was in 2002 and James Milner was on the scorers that day. That doesn't seem to make sense.
Although he is still really playing, odd. It's better than him being retired. So there is that one little crumb of comfort.
Yeah, I mean, it was 20 years ago. It really is more to the James Milner's credit that he played in that game and is still playing now. But yeah, it's hard to see us getting anything.
I mean, I'm just looking at the
but Tuchel didn't beat us last year, did he?
No.
It was 0-0 in his game. It was Frank Lampard who, of course, laid the foundations for the Champions League win, as he said. Did you see the thing he did with Gary Neville?
I didn't watch it. I'm not.
I've only seen the little clip of it.
Can I just ask before you tell me? Don't spoil the surprise. But does he hold himself in quite high regard?
Well, what he says is, I watched it. I said, I'm watching. You know, Chilwell to Mount. I'm thinking, it's a bit of me that is. But I mean, I can't take any credit for it.
I can't take any credit for one player passing to another. But I am.
Yes.
Right.
And then he said, other people have said, you know, that was your team, but you know, it wasn't.
What was it? What we've done here, you see, is we've sort of dispensed with the actual game at hand and just started trashing an aspect about the club that we're about to face to mask the fact that we don't really know what's going on.
For the blog, I spoke to actual professional footballer Hadi Gandor, who's a massive Leeds fan and wanted to chat to me more about being a Leeds fan than being a professional footballer. But he went to Stamford Bridge last year when there was that limited capacity. So he was in with the Chelsea fans. And when Bamford scored after a minute, he jumped up and then sort of blew his cover and then had to run to the toilet pretending he just needed the loo and started Snapchatting himself celebrating in the toilet, which I quite like.
So yeah, strengths and weaknesses. I mean, we're looking at the who scored data here. Their only weakness is protecting the lead. Other than that, finishing scoring chances, very good. Creating chances using through balls, very good. Very good, I say very good, I mean very strong. Individual skill, strong. Attacking down the wing, strong. Shooting from direct free, strong. Defending set, strong.
A lot of strongness.
Although they're non-aggressive, so that's fine.
Who's going to annoy us the most in this game? Let's talk about something we can get on board with. I don't really like Jorginho. Something about him. Something about him. There's the Mason Mount.
I was going to say Mount's still got that derby thing, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got the derby bit. So I don't know. I feel like Rudiger might annoy me a bit as well.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to be the pantomime villain.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's good, don't he?
Yeah.
Kind of why it's annoying.
I quite like Reece James's sort of semi-vacant look. He's like, he's a dead good footballer, but he always looks slightly vacant, doesn't he?
He's very good as Reece James, actually. Yeah. I think he'd be... maybe we should get him once Luke Ayling retires.
Mm-hmm.
We could probably afford him, couldn't we?
I would say so.
Sure, Chelsea give him away for about £80 million or something. Yeah, they've got loads of good players.
Their keeper did go mad in the last game, didn't he? When they got beat at West Ham. So, yeah, maybe just hope he has a bit of a Kiko day.
Just sign another one. That's what they did last time. Spent £70 million on quid on one and went, oh, he's no good, this one. Just buy another.
That's insane. I mean, that really is insane. And you know, again, parking the humorous side of this, if it can even be classed as that, parking that for 1 minute, it's just a really sobering reminder of the disparity in the Premier League and the joylessness of it, that you have to look at a fixture and think, well, you know, that overwhelmingly there's no chance we get anything from this, although a chance does always remain. We know that. You never want to write off your own team, do you? You want to hope there's something in there for you, but what's the point?
It's a bit annoying as well how many times they have like a crisis season and panic and think it's all terrible and gone to shit, and then it's like, well, you've got £500 million squad and you're just going to sack the manager, get a new one, win the Champions League. Like,
yeah,
it sounds all right.
What a terrible crisis that proved to be, wasn't it?
Do it properly, like we did. A big old relegation.
Well, this is the irony, though, just spinning forward to Man City for the Tuesday evening game, is they did. I mean, we were talking about clubs that should be let into the Premier League, you know, according to our own whims and quirks and foibles and all the rest of it. Man City, they had a little dance in League One, didn't they? Not so long ago.
Yeah, it was only, what, 25 years ago? Not very long.
Not long, though, is it? Only feels like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it does feel...
But they've done all right since.
They seem to be doing fine, don't they? They've invested a bit of money in the club, haven't they, as well, since then?
So. It'll be nice to see Jack Grealish again, if he's playing. Of course. Because they didn't even really need him, did they?
Not really. They don't seem to know what to do with him either, do they? Now they've got him.
It always seemed like that at the time, didn't it? And now Pep's saying, well, if you don't come good this season, it's a worry. And you think, Christ.
Has he said that?
Yeah, I think someone asked him if it might take him until next season to kick into gear. And he said, well, that would be a worry if he didn't perform this season.
£100 million.
But I mean, and you've just got Riyad Mahrez, Raheem Sterling, Gabriel Jesus.
Foden.
It's not like the short of options, is it really?
Phil Foden. And
Silva as well.
Yeah.
He's scored loads of goals this year, hasn't he?
That's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah. They're doing all right, aren't they? Man City are a completely different team, aren't they? To go back to, you know, the kind of Premier League of our youth. I don't associate this Man City with the old one.
It's a different club. It's like a Phoenix club, isn't it?
I think it's a new stadium as well. It feels completely like a different beast than the one that was managed by,
Man City of that era was a bit like us, kind of an underachieving, never really winning enough, you know, versus a club that they hate in the same city kind of thing. You know, in that kind of, that second tier of clubs, if you like, that were never in the mix every year. They sort of did all right. Sometimes they get to fourth and that was it. Might get relegated. But then this is weird, isn't it? This version of them. It just shows you how much football as a whole has changed, doesn't it?
Because their rise came as we were out of the Premier League, I always sort of didn't mind them because I actually preferred them winning it over Scum or over Chelsea. So when they stopped that happening, I thought, oh, well, that's all right.
Yeah.
I kind of don't mind it so much. And I don't mind Man City as a whole. I think their fans are generally all right, which I know is, if you're a Brentford fan still listening to this, you might find upsetting that I've praised someone else. But I don't have any particular objection to them as a club, other than the fact that they've spent billions of pounds of sovereign wealth on footballers, which is giving them a huge advantage over everybody else, which I'm not a big fan of, really. But, you know.
You do wonder if there'll be like another cycle in football, don't you, where the likes of Chelsea and Man City ever fall away from the top, even just a little bit? Is the whole system gamed in their favour now that's never going to happen again?
Are you suggesting if their owners went to prison or something, maybe they would have to?
Whatever it might be. Or, you know, who knows if Abu Dhabi gets bored of funding Man City and then you know, maybe they get somebody who comes in like I don't know, someone does what the Glazers did and just buys it all out with debt, something like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if they just improve other things, they don't need the sports washing, I suppose, do they? So they might dispense with it. They might be like, well, what we've done is we just improve workers' conditions and we don't need to buy footballers anymore. We've decided that's the cheaper way of doing it. We've been outpriced. It's better to just pay people properly and make sure people don't die, I suppose, rather than buying Jack Grealish again. So maybe that'll be the thing that'll turn them.
It does go to show like the task at hand in trying to break into that upper echelon, doesn't it? Even getting into the top six, seven European places when you've got so many of them that are nailed on with being up there.
The thing with Man City as well, and Chelsea, is that because they've been at the top for so long and had so much money invested, their youth team and everything is brilliant as well. So, like when Leeds played Man City the other day, Palmer, who's played for their first team, was just absolutely taking the piss of our children in defence. He was like leaving them on their arse every two minutes because he's a Premier League footballer and they've been able to recruit him and put him into the best training camp in the world sort of thing. And it takes forever to catch up with these people, which is I think the depressing aspect of it, because it's like, how much money do you need to spend over how long to get to the point where you're at that level?
And they've still not won the Champions League, which is what the whole thing is designed to do. It's the same with PSG, isn't it?
And yet, all that said, everything, whole system loaded in their favour, we still beat them last season with 10 men. And that is the beauty of football, isn't it? That you can catch somebody on the right day with a favourable wind and you just happen to do the right thing. And like, we sat deep and hit them on the break, and Alioski plays, you know, pass of the season, and Dallas is having the season of his life. And when all those things come together, you get an amazing moment. And that was one of the best, if not the best moment last season. So, you know, despite all that shit, there's still something there, isn't there?
Oh, there is. It can still happen. I mean, within our relatively recent past, we've been to Old Trafford as a League One team and won. You know, it's, these things are possible. We've been to Crawley and lost. I don't know if you remember that one. We've been to Sutton and lost, speaking of the cup earlier. So yeah, it's...
Drew at home to Brentford as well, which came as a shock against such a small club.
Yeah, that was a real upset, wasn't it? Them getting a point. Was that a cup game?
I can't remember. These things just...
I think it must have been.
Yeah, it just escaped my mind so often. Anyway, so expect no points.
Yeah.
Anything we get from it, bonus?
I think you have to view it as that, don't you? Which is incredibly defeatist, I know.
But hey, welcome to the Square Ball Podcast.
But if you... I've not looked at it, but I'm sure if you look at the odds, they will tell you the same story. We are very, very unlikely to win these games. But, you know, we might. And if we did, it'd be piss funny, which is the nice thing as well, because we'd be not only getting points for ourselves, we'd be messing up title challenges, which is fun.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
It's time for heroes and villains now then. The Ken Bates Villain of the Week Award is the first bit that we do. And for this, we'll put forward some of our own ideas. We'll put forward some of the ones that we received from the feedback form for our TSB Plus subscribers. What we got then this week?
Straight in on Bielsa.
Oof.
A couple of people. Zach and TJ, both. For Zach actually was very ballsy on this. He submitted the feedback form 20 minutes into the game.
Wow.
But the game is only 20 minutes in at this point, but I just know that Bielsa stupidly shifting the entire team around after Cooper's injury is going to cost us, instead of just putting Crespo for Cooper. He's chosen to put James up front and Phillips and Ayling to centre-back. Overthinking again, it's costing us points.
As I've said across this show, or was it propaganda, we were better after the shuffle around. So, you know, maybe he knows what he's doing. And actually, there is a question I'd like to put forward, like in the general sense now, is that could we ever actually genuinely give Bielsa the Villain of the Week Award, given how much in credit he is with us?
Certainly not for bringing Jack Harrison on for Liam Cooper. I feel like he would have to do... He's got enough credit in the bank to sort of ride that one out.
Yeah, it is very difficult. I don't remember us having a manager that we are so unable to criticise before. Maybe it's because we've not had a good one in 20 years. But it feels unusual ground. Like when Dave Hockaday was there, I felt quite confident in saying he was an idiot and I probably had better ideas than him because it was working so badly for us.
And it was true.
And like, you sort of look at his qualifications, you think, yeah, all right, I'm not as qualified as you, Dave, but I'm not a million miles off necessarily. Whereas Bielsa, you do have to look at it and go, okay, well, he he probably does know what he's doing.
That's the thing. It's not necessarily not criticising him. It's trusting him because he's a competent manager with a track record and has done amazing things at this club. So I think as an idiot sat in a studio, I'll probably just, agree with what, not necessarily agree, but trust him to make the right decision.
I think even if the worst was to happen this season and we were to go down, he'd still leave being celebrated, actually. I mean, I know Moscow was getting at this point when we were arguing the toss the other week in whichever match ball that was, about saying that you can't really damage his legacy. We've had such good times.
If we went down, I think in the short term it would, but I think equally it'd be one of those things that, a bit like Wilco, in that when he left, people kind of were ready for him to leave and he was getting quite slagged off at the time. Whereas now, if you speak to people about Wilco, people just remember the way he took us from being no-hopers into champions, and the way the club was built on his legacy of Thorpe Arch and all that sort of stuff. So it'd be similar with Bielsa. But he's not going to take us down.
I think when they're reapproaching that point with certain players as well, where in the short term, people like Click and Cooper and, Roberts maybe not less so, but they're getting lots of abuse. But in a few years when they have left and we can reflect on things, you go, do you know what? They were absolutely brilliant and they did amazing things.
Yeah, they did a good job for us at a time when we needed them to do a good job. And I think that's what the tension is, isn't it? It's the tension of trying to get yourself established in the Premier League, which goes back to all the stuff we were talking about there in the Chelsea Man City preview. So there's the tension of being pulled that way, of wanting to be better, faster, 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 and yet understanding that, Rome wasn't built in a day, but you want it to be.
Yeah, I think so. It's we're just all worried. It's all any criticism just comes from worry. And I think sometimes people will criticise us for not criticising Bielsa.
Well, we've had that actually. We had a bit of that in the YouTube comments over the weekend and some tweets as well. When are you lot ever going to slag off Bielsa? It's like, Christ, he hasn't actually done anything wrong to us yet,
Yeah.
There's that. I mean, we're all tense. We're all nervous, but
we've not won some games we maybe think we should have won this year, but overall, he's still all right. He's still kind of pretty good. So I don't think any of us are, I don't think we're taking like a position on it, are we?
No.
We're just all...
See what happens.
We just all kind of love him still.
Yeah, and it probably would, to an extent, damage his legacy if we were to go down, but we haven't gone down.
No.
So why, why trouble yourself too much with thinking about it? And he says, I've been just spent 5 minutes talking about it, but
Well, while we're slagging off the best things about Leeds United, Nathaniel has gone in on Calvin Phillips for being too stubborn to go off when he was clearly injured, meaning we played on with 10 men, although Phillips was still on the pitch. Ended up conceding, and then Phillips decided to swallow his pride and went off.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know, do we, at this stage, exactly what has happened, with the injury potentially to him and to
Cooper and
Bamford potentially. So, that may sway the match preview. If we had to come back in and do it again, well, actually, I tell you what, the interesting litmus test on this is going to be the Phil Hay show, isn't it? Because by the time we record that in a couple of days, we should know more.
When Bielsa just coldly goes down a list of players and goes, they're out. They are out. They are out.
Yeah.
But everything's fine. We have a squad. And everyone else goes, fuck!
Again, feels like a cheap shot at Phillips. Who else then? David Coote and VAR all got nominations this week. Graham, Jimmy, Eastlow, Paul. Lorne, Rodrigo's mum back on again.
Jimmy Walker sums up how I feel about referees in general by just saying bullied schoolboy David Coote. Because you're meant to encourage referees, aren't you? Because, again, there's no game without them. But I just can't understand what would convince anyone to think, oh, yeah, that sounds like a really good idea. I'd love to be abused by 35,000 people every week.
And I think as well, highlighting the how arbitrary these things are, Toby Lerone says, Coote, not the reason we drew, but still a wanker and a shit ref. Good. Fair enough.
No, I mean, I was going to say, one of my neighbours, his dad was a Sunday League ref. And he used to tell me stories of the abuse that he gets subjected to. Week in, week out. Oh, why?
Mm.
Why would you even bother doing it?
Mm. Like you say, it's a good thing that some people do it, because otherwise...
What do you do with your spare time? Oh, I'm a traffic warden.
Yeah, I mean, Coote, in fairness, a lot of the criticism was him failing to book someone for time-wasting, which Brentford were quite clever at, because, as we said, there were some throw-ins and free kicks where everyone just ran away from the ball, so it was very hard to kind of go, you are time-wasting. It was like a collective... But maybe you should do a collective punishment like teachers do. And they say, well, if no one's going to admit to who's done this, you're all going to stay in over break. Just a yellow card for just going around the pitch, every one of them.
You'd like to see that, wouldn't you? And the analysis on Sky.
Exactly.
Carragher blowing his top with Phil Neville. Right, we've got Canos, predictably, has got nominations here. Aidan, Nathan, and Ralph, who is Phil and Moscow's West Stand friend.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of right. Can't expect to incite the crowd and not expect a response. And he thought he should have been booked for it.
He'd already been booked at that point, hadn't he, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is sort of weird that you get a yellow card for taking a shirt off and not for doing that. Like, why is a shirt coming off an offence?
Did you see Damari Gray's celebration last night when he scored the last
straight
minute
into the crowd, shirt off, wasn't it?
Yeah. He went shirt off and then he ran into the crowd and then you could see him after about a second went, oh shit, can I get booked twice for this? And he just took a step back and went to
because
his
that is a booking offence as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Going into the crowd. So should he have walked?
I feel like it's a bit miserable to stop people celebrating unless it is Canos, who should have to walk back to the halfway line looking sad, I think. I mean, it was a dick move, in fairness, because I know Rafinha did it later on, but Rafinha took a corner in front of their fans and stayed there. He deliberately like ran towards the cop and started doing it, started like, pointing at the ground right in front of him as if to say, throw things here. Come on, what have you got in your pockets?
If you've got any litter, I'm collecting.
Exactly. I know it's cashless society these days, but if you've got any coins, I want to see them. Yeah, we don't throw things at people.
No. It's bad. It's bad for the club, isn't it? I mean, on the other side of this, I try and put myself in Canos' shoes, not scoring against Leeds, but, you know, scoring in a game like that in an away ground. I get the temptation to run and absolutely milk it. It must be massive, you know, in that moment, huge adrenaline, outpouring of emotion. Because, you know, when we scored that equaliser, I spent a lot of my time after I'd picked myself up off the floor shouting. Well, it wasn't even shouting. It was just like a guttural noise. Like, fuck off. to the away fans, because you're always trying to point score cheaply, aren't you? Even in a humorous way, sometimes on a podcast, which can get misread by really thin-skinned people from London. So you kind of get it, don't you? But also...
The law of the Vardy, the old chat shit get banged. He got banged.
And the reaction is a human one from the Leeds fans, even if it was naughty.
Yeah. I think we should just draw a line under it, say it's a draw.
We've all learned from it.
Exactly. I mean, it'll happen again, but...
I was going to say, Canos hasn't learned from it, has he? Because he was part of the Brentford team that did it when Morpay scored. Mm-hmm. And then... He was the guy that headbutted Alioski and
got away with it.
He does have previous, so
got away with that as well, didn't he? The headbutt. The FA looked at that footage and went, yeah, it's fine.
You could do that if you want. Just rest your head against his back in the same way that person wanted to rest that pint pot on Canos's head. See if he could balance it from a distance, full of piss. Thomas Frank has got nominations. I feel like we probably shouldn't come to you, Michael, because we've had to have words already about how you describe Thomas Frank. What do you want to say about Thomas Frank?
I'll stick with Roger, who described him as a creepy hipster, a poor man's Yogi Low.
Okay. Do you want to, what's the word that you used outside? Are you going to try and say it so we have to edit this out?
You told me and I'm not allowed to.
Yeah, don't say that.
It's the Levi Solicitor's signal is above Leeds as we speak.
It's not actually a real word. I will say it's a...
No. I'll tell you what, let's say this. If you want to know what that word is, if you're at Ellen Road and you see Michael knocking around, ask him and he'll tell you.
If someone really liked bees, what might they be called?
A fan of bees. Right, okay. Thomas Frank has been nominated by Boney M, Matt, Ben, Roger and Nige.
Matt and Ben both highlighting the way he chews gum, which is disgusting,
yep.
I have to say. We were highlighted by Brentford fans for a lack of manners.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to chew like that, my mother would have had words. She'd be like...
Imagine going to the dinner table.
She'd be like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Close your mouth.
Exactly. Disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
And as was stressed, yes, manners in football, as we've been kindly educated by the lads from Besotted, count for everything, don't they? It's manners.
Speaking of manners, Boney M says Thomas Frank, the goblin-eared, floppy-eared twat.
Yep, fair enough, I think. Brentford themselves got a fair few.
We've had some nominations for being daring to be optimistic and being cocky in the pre-match show. No, we weren't, were we? What's wrong with predicting your team's going to win just because it's on record?
What is this for us two getting nominated? Yeah. I wasn't cocky.
I was going to say, people hate you, any sort of idea of you being optimistic.
I think I predicted 1 point, which we got. And I thought that was optimistic at the time. I think from the three games, I said we'd get 4 points, didn't I? And we got five. So
anyway, Brentford themselves got nominations. As a concept, Slip Digby not happy with Brentford as a concept, which, I mean, we dealt with that extensively over on Propaganda, didn't we?
We did, just Brentford. I think he does make a good point, though, saying constantly wanking themselves off about how data-driven they are and playing positive football, then they turn up and abandon their principles and try and snatch a win playing like Wigan, which is maybe harsh on Wigan, actually. Hypocritical knobheads managed by an unlikable Pecksniff.
Pecksniff is great.
I did think that when Frank started talking about, well, we've got the lowest budget in the league. And it's like, well, aren't you like Moneyball FC? You can't like base your whole club identity on we're going to sign players cheaply and sell them on and then go, oh, but we've got the lowest budget in the league. It doesn't really make sense.
Goes exactly back to what we were saying then about Lampard before, is that I don't want to talk about these things, but this needs to be factored in, but this needs to be said.
Yeah, and the reason they have to do that is because they're not a big enough team to otherwise support a you know, Premier League club, are they?
No.
With the small fan base, we've covered the bad stadium, poor support, etc., etc. It's going to be it's the way they need to do it to, to stay in the even in the Championship.
Roll on the end of the season. Hopefully we're safe.
You know, though, if they stay over, we go down, and they highlight this and piss themselves laughing. It's fair enough.
Yeah, because we'll laugh at it.
Yeah,
because we deserve it.
Because it'd be stupid. Yeah. And I'm making a deliberately stupid point.
You see, you're making an exaggerated viewpoint for the purposes of humor.
Correct.
Ah, that's what you, because I haven't followed it up to this point.
And
see,
if we do,
I've
go
been
down,
sat here in the studio for more than 10 years. We've done this 11 years now.
And never realized.
At no point had I realized. Mm.
Oh, and if we do go down and they stay up, then that's fair, because that's how league tables work.
Mm-hmm. They will have deserved it and we wouldn't.
Exactly.
Unless, of course, you're Aston Villa, in which case they didn't deserve to stay up because they cheated. Well, they didn't cheat, did they? But the system was cheated with the goal line technology.
Yeah, COVID's had some nominations, mainly for depriving Moscow of an ability to gloat over Tyler Roberts.
Yeah. So, as soon as that went in, I did message him. I said, I'm so sorry you're missing.
See, frankly, I'm glad he's got COVID, because I don't want to hear him talking about Tyler Roberts.
Why?
I just think he'd be too smug. Mm-hmm. I think it's for the best.
No one wants to hear smug people on a podcast.
No, exactly.
I'm just picturing that image of the dad from South Park sat in front of the computer. And that was live scenes.
Oh, wow, what an image. The injury gods have been picked out by Jambo as well, because that's unfair. Yeah, and that could get worse between now and the weekend. Hope not. Concept of time. Getting into some pretty existential stuff here. Niall Monaghan Penguin?
Interesting name.
Yeah. Is that a traditional Irish family name, Penguin?
He says the game felt 5 hours long when we were winning and then disappeared after they went ahead. And it did disappear because the ball was very rarely in play after they went ahead. So it did make it, it did drag it out a little bit. A
couple of nominations for Orta and his...
both his sides of this, actually.
Histrionics.
We've had a couple of nominations for the fan who was having a go at Orta.
Oh, right, okay.
Because of kind of what he's achieved and bringing Bielsa in and parting in that. And then a couple of people saying he was just embarrassing and unprofessional. Wisconsin Todd says, be professional and act your age, man. Yeah. I think both of those are fair points, in fairness.
Mm. It's hard to say without knowing what was said.
Yes, very
by
true.
Either side.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of shut up going on from Orta's part, wasn't there?
Well, it was very nice to see a square ball scarf in the background.
Yeah, Berardi was wearing the one that we'd given him.
And the child you spotted hiding behind the chair as well.
Yeah, there's a kid just in the midway through the argument, a kid just disappears behind the chair next to Orta. I don't know if they were expecting things to be thrown, having seen what happened to Canos. They just thought, well, I've seen how this plays out, I'm going to get out of the way of this.
Andy's having a pop at Sky TV as well, because we've not played at 3 o'clock on a Saturday at Elland Road for ages.
Well, is it Amazon who are to blame for this, for the kickoff on Sunday? Because they,
it is, yeah.
It was because the Brentford's game was...
So Brentford played on Thursday because of Amazon, which meant that their weekend game got bumped to Sunday. We couldn't play up against the 4:30 kickoff, so we were playing at 2 o'clock and we weren't televised because the Women's FA Cup final was televised at the same time. So that's why we were there, for anybody who doesn't quite know.
Are you blaming...
why it wasn't on telly.
Are you blaming women?
I didn't say... Those are your words. Your words, not mine, Michael. The thought hadn't even occurred to me.
Let's blame Amazon instead.
Yep. People, the early leavers... As is becoming a theme on this show as well. Like, yeah, my dad did leave. Well, he went downstairs at 61 minutes when Canos scored, and then he told me afterwards he left the ground at about 80 minutes.
Why? Just why? I know it's nice to get away early, but surely getting away early is countered when you've got it on the radio and you can hear an equaliser go in and you think, ah, oh, should have seen that.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? As painful as it can sometimes be, those moments are amazing.
Yeah, they're the best bits. They're the reason that you sit through often 90 shit minutes, is because there's still that chance in the last minute someone pops up with a header and you can go mad about it.
And I actually did, as I said on the match ball, do exactly that. I'd kind of mentally written off this game when we went 2-1 down, and I thought, oh, we've seen this before. We don't claw anything back from this. But then it's great to have your expectations defied, isn't it?
I think the Blackburn game from a couple of years ago will be the defining one of these, where they scored and you thought, oh, we've lost. And actually we managed to score twice in injury time, and you think, God, it would have been so easy to leave the ground in disgust at that point, when again we should probably have won, and you thought, we've definitely lost this now. But just,
and that only happens, it happens once in a generation if you're lucky.
Yeah, but you want to be there for it.
I wasn't,
so stay.
We were away for Christmas that year, and I was either driving to Hampshire or was already there. I can't remember which way around it was. because I know we were in the car for either that or the Villa game, so I missed both of them.
Which is which was worse, the driving there or the being there?
That was great.
Okay, good.
Great time.
I was just trying to get you to slag off your in-laws.
No, it's great because you don't have to do anything, do you, when you're there? They look after you all the time. You have to like tidy up your lounge after your kids have been smashing things up, that sort of thing. Anyway, Pontus Janssen gets a nomination. Ding.
Mm, going in, well, maybe unfairly. Maybe it's a fair point. Said he's always been a fake hard man, a poser and a fraud. Good riddance. He was only ever a pseudo hero at Leeds because we'd been starved of one for so long. Billy would have physically kicked his ass out of the club. We also saw him for what he is, the least Cyber Force South player in recent memory. Fuck off. Not a fan, is what I mean.
That bit feels, you know, we talked about taking exaggerated positions on this podcast for comedic effect. I don't think.
He did leave, and also he shouldn't be in the villain nomination because he was ball watching as Bamford peeled off the back of him and thighed it into the net.
There was, in the first half, there were a few boos from the cop when he got the ball, but very quiet. But I did spot there was one guy on his own, resolutely making a point of applauding Janssen at this. I'm not really asked either way, to be honest.
Because he did get involved in some sort of little minor confrontation, didn't he? I don't know whether it was like a ball going out or a decision, or he whinged at the ref or something like that. And that got the crowds back up a little bit against him. But it's what I forecast going into it. There'd be some in-game stuff that was a little bit kind of pantomimey, booing of him and stuff like that. But generally, you know, he's fine and he did great for us. He is a good footballer.
He won a lot of headers, actually, noticed. Admittedly, it's because he was... played a lot of the game up against Dan James and was ball played into the box. He probably is going to win those, but I was reminded of how often the ball was just drawn to his head in this game. He's a decent defender.
Yeah, and it's a good bloke who loves Leeds as well.
And it's a shame he's effectively had to retire from football by signing for Brentford.
You know, you have to make these compromises sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
December, Andy Malthouse is picking out the month. We've had the concept of time as being picked out. Time, I guess, related to the calendar and what's come out of the fixture computer for December. Says December is a character. It is, isn't it? Well, what can we do about it? Right, who's your villain?
Canos?
Yeah, it's Canos, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, by weight of nominations and by how annoyed I was about him.
Not for the celebration, but for falling over when he got hit by a half-empty plastic cup.
And previous offences taken into account as well, I think, on this one. I mean, David Coote got quite a lot as well, but, well... what can you do?
They're all crap.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Canos it is then. Gaetano Berardi, Hero of the Week, which has been officially passed on, by the way, now. If you've seen the photo, which retweeted from the Squareball account, Tarno went to, was it Middlesbrough, I think, where he saw Andy Hughes over the weekend. So that would have been this Saturday game, wouldn't it? Then he came to Elland Road on Sunday. And the Hero of the Week award officially passed from Hughes to Berardi, which I thought was very gentlemanly.
It was nice, and there was no fighting between them either. You never know if there's going to be a bit of bad beef, like the ex with the new husband or whatever, that kind of a thing. But no, they seemed friends. Everyone was getting along. So that was good. And he popped in, he sat in that very chair, Rob, didn't he, this week? So came in to see me and Oddie before the game, which was nice. And we gave him a scarf, which, as we said, featured on the Victor Alter argument clip. Victor Alter apparently, and well, the club had offered him to go on the pitch as well at halftime and stuff. And he was like, no.
He's a good guy.
Because he's shy.
It felt right that he was back in Leeds. It was nice to have him around. Even before seeing him at the game or seeing him in here, just knowing he was in the city just felt comforting.
Mm. I think we were saying after the game on Sunday, saying it feels like he's been away for years. He only left in summer, but we're like...
But then again, he was out for a full year.
But it's like returning son. We're like, oh, it's been so long. Like, it's only been a few months, really.
He didn't slap you on the back, did he, as he said hello?
He did a handshake, and I think there was a bit of a hug as we left, but I didn't get the full, I think probably he recognises I'm not a professional athlete who can't, I don't have the spine rigidity of Liam Cooper to take such a pounding as he was giving them all going round Thorpe Arch.
Some love for Stuart Dallas this week as well. Graham Boney-M and Martin O'B all picking him out for, well, moments across both games, really. Palace and, who is it? The other lot.
Orient.
Yeah. Enjoyed his little spin on the ball. He did a couple of those, didn't he, actually, in that game against
Yeah, them ones.
The other lot, yeah. And there was the headball, handball, Gary Kelly-level header thing that he did against Zaha, which was fun.
Boney-M suggests rather than spending $25 million on players, we should just invest that into cloning Stuart Dallas.
Mm.
It is amazing how he can play so many different positions in a single game and do a pretty good job of all of them. The Stuart Dallas of, like, 4 years ago, he's just a different man somehow.
Well, he's come to a proper club, hasn't he, now? So
that's true.
He's really upped his game. My dad's got a nomination, actually. Nathaniel is suggesting that we've scored more goals at Elland Road with him out than in. side Ellen Road, so he's a positive jinx. Could be something in that. Bamford gets nominations from Slip, Aiden, East Lower, Paul, Nige, Philip, Adsham, Marvin, Joe, among others, basically for his contribution to the last minute on Sunday.
Yeah, you can't. He wasn't particularly involved, was he? He was struggling to get into the game, and there was very little flow to it. But right place, right time.
Although,
lovely celebration.
If he has done his hamstring, as the awful rumours are circulating, we'll have to take this back off him if he wins it.
That's true. In his balletic shirt off celebration.
Because, well, I think we need to nominate Melier, A, for showing the bollocks for wanting to go up for the corner, but then his celebration as well in the aftermath of that, tumbling around and sliding and just didn't know what to do with himself.
And then his Instagram post saying he's not used to this as well was nice.
Yeah, I said, drawn a parallel with something like this before, he was like one of those animals that's been at the circus or kept in captivity that gets let out into a sanctuary and finally is allowed to run free. And like you can almost see, you know, animals don't smile, but you can see him smiling. Like, this is amazing. Look at this.
Oh. Yeah, there's a still of him you showed me. And I was like, I don't even know which way up he is. Because he's just got his arms are so long. You're like, are they legs?
Like a human bowling ball, wasn't he? Canos Bottle Thrower. Controversial.
Canos Bottle Thrower got several nominations. That's Jimmy, Joe, Andy and Ryan. All picking him out for praise.
We can't condone that.
I watched the bottle arc onto the head of that Brentford twat and the aim was just perfect. Obviously, we don't condone it.
No, don't do that. Nathan wants to nominate you, Michael, for doing some training for the Gary Speed 92-mile walk. Brilliant. Yeah, skim past that. Tyler Roberts.
He did also say I looked like Compo from Last of the Summer Wine.
Ah, fair enough.
Dragging a trolley with a woolly hat on.
Slow-paced demeanour.
If you
bloody heavy, that trolley.
If you come back on non-match days, you can see him going down Beeston Hill in a bath as well. Just like Compo. Right, Tyler Roberts, yeah. Roger, Jack, Toby Lerone, Boney M, among others, nominating.
Moscow as well.
Tyler, and Moscow loves the man, doesn't he? And yeah, it was a good finish, wasn't it? And he was it was a lot more confident in the wake of finishing that.
Yeah, I think we've criticised him. Now let's praise him. He's done very well the last few games. If we'd have been seeing these last few games from scratch, I think people would be quite pleased with him. So
it's a shame if Bamford is fit. We're all just going to want him back in the team instead.
Yeah.
Murgatroyd's the chippy in Yeadon. Got some love from Jambo. Enjoyed his fish, chips and scraps after the game. Again, probably an outlying one when it comes to this award. Rafinha, probably likely higher up the ranking here. Give it to the Brentford fans. That's been picked out by Ben. Lorne, Rodrigo's mum just says Raf, which feels like she's ignoring her own son there. Bit disappointing.
But I think we said Rafinha. I think we were not completely praising him. I think we were saying he had a bit of a weird game, but got two assists, didn't he? So, you know, fair enough. Although I suppose technically the corner was a ailing assist, wasn't it? Because he got the head on it. But
he's just got so much quality in him, hasn't he? Like even when he does have a bit of a weird game, like he had that shot that he blasted over, and just it wasn't quite working for him at times. He just does so much good stuff.
Yeah, he does.
What was that? There was a moment, I think, was it second half when he just turned away from about three players and beat him. I think he got fouled in the end.
Yes, didn't he? Did. Yeah,
I just love watching him.
Did he assist the first?
He did. It was across from the left, wasn't it?
If I'm wrong, don't correct me.
we've no interest in your facts.
Just allow me to be wrong.
Pontus left Paddy at the corner, as you picked out there. So Niall was happy about that. Nominates him for that. Melier, again for his bowling ball. Lorne and Ben agreed. So did Nathan. Orta picked out by Ender, going against what was said in the villainy bit. Clearly gives a shit, displaying his passion.
He does. He does clearly give a shit, and that's good. But I think I do generally think yelling at your own fans is not a great look. I think you just got to sometimes take a bit of, just take it on the chin and just leave it. Would be the best advice, as shouted by many a person in a town centre. just leave it.
Well, there was a certain amount.
It's not worth it.
There was a certain amount of that hold me back by Kinnear, wasn't there? He was sort of half laughing and
Kinnear was just pissing himself for the whole thing. I think he's seen it before.
And Luke Ayling, nominated by Ralph, who's Phil and Moscow's West Stand friend, says his passing was hit and miss, but he brought something else in terms of energy. And got the flick on for the goal.
It does just feel better with Luke Ayling around, I have to say.
The world's a better place.
It's like having Berardi in the city, just knowing Luke Ayling's playing right back for Leeds. It just feels right.
And I think now we've seen enough of Jamie Shackleton there to be like, okay, not Jamie Shackleton. And we've seen like Dallas, I mean, he kind of plays anywhere, doesn't he? So he's always going to end up getting moved about. So I think we're happy to have Ayling as our first choice right back again.
Yeah, it's nice to have him around. I think that's all the nominations. There was some love for Moscow as well for getting through COVID. But that's too self-indulgent.
Just so you swiftly delete that off the page.
He's not here either, is he? So he's not through it.
No.
We might not let him back.
Rob, we're here to break it to you. Right, so pick your hero of the week, then who's it going to be?
I'm tempted to give it to Tyler Roberts. I know Bamford Bamford does get it on weight of nominations here.
Is it a sympathy?
No, he scored.
Award.
It'd be a sympathy award if we gave him it to one of the weeks he didn't score.
Yeah,
and he's been good in a few games now as well. And I think I might have wanted to give it last time. I can't quite remember, but yeah, I think he deserves some love, doesn't he? And he's never a knob about it. Like he takes it and just cracks on. And it's nice to see him finally get a reward for that.
Yeah, I think so. And in Moscow's absence, I think it's only right. He would have been arguing the case for him here, and probably to the extent that we just went, yeah, fine.
And we'll be able
in
to
the
get...
end. So he would have worn us down if he was here. So let's just let Tyler Roberts have it.
Yeah, fair point. All right, congratulations, Tyler Roberts. And that wraps it up for this week. We'll be back next week. That's going to be another fuck over, isn't it? Because we've got Man City on Tuesday night. So it'll probably be Wednesday when we record, which ruins the entire... Yeah. Second half of the week. Who have we got after that? It's Arsenal on Saturday tea time, isn't it?
Well, they're in disarray again now, which is good. After a brief resurgence, they seem to all be wanting the world to end again. So that's good.
I'm just thinking, looking over the Christmas holidays, maybe give it a rest between Villa and Burnley.
The one day, just in the middle of them.
Yeah, just give it all. We need a rest the entire off. But we'll get around to that as we get there. In the meantime, get in touch with us at The Square Ball and have a look at the Christmas merch that we're all wearing. Look at us, looking all festive. And thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.